worship is not about us, but it's all about you. And it's sad, Lord, that sometimes we have to be reminded that it's not about us, but it's about you. Father, it's time to give, and I pray that you'll bless those who give today, that we may continue to spread the good news that your blood is still saving folks today and still cleansing. So, Father, thank you for every gift that comes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Captain Martin Lindsay
Lieutenant Arthur Godfrey, and Andrew Croft, and 59 dogs began a polar sled journey across Greenland. Now you got to study and understand that Greenland is a mountain that reaches 12,000 feet, very, very ice-packed, covered with snow. And they set out to go across that mountain 1,080 miles with those dog sleds. And finally, September the 5th, 1934, they completed their journey. Now, if you read about it and study about it, you'll discover that these men, in order to survive the cold temperature and the blowing wind, they had to have a good survival kit. They had to have the right kind of clothing, the right kind of equipment, the right directions. They had to have everything they needed in order to complete the journey they had set out to complete. If they had not, they would not have been successful. They would not have went over the mountain and on the other side of the mountain, 1,080 miles in bitter cold temperatures, they would have never, ever survived. Now, church, let me remind everybody in this room today, we as children of God and we as a church need a survival kit.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Can our church survive? Can our church survive? Does our church right now have the right survival kit that when the devil attacks, we can defeat the devil? For I want you to understand something. Listen. The devil may think he has won, but the devil cannot win the victory if we look to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so can we survive? Can we survive? In the Bible, you'll find where churches were established everywhere, and one church was set in a place called Corinth. Corinth was one of the most wickedest parts of the town that you could ever find, and that's where God decided to implant a church. Corinth was known for its wickedness, its drunkenness, its religious informalities, and all these kind of things, and God set his church. And God expected that church to be the salt and the light in the midst of the darkness. God did. Now, City Grove, I want you to understand something. It's not by accident that God established this church where he established this church. God set this church where it's sitting today. And God has called all of us to be the salt and the light to our community. You understand, all around us are people dying without the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is our responsibility to remind them and tell them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
How hard it must have been for the church in Corinth to survive. Can you imagine what the people said about that church? Can you imagine the talk down at the local store? Can you imagine what they must have said? If there had been a Hardee's or a Wendy's sitting there, I wonder what they would have said about that church in Corinth. Listen to this. If the church in Corinth could survive doing God's work God's way, can I remind you that our church can survive doing God's work God's way? It can survive. I find some fascinating facts in the survival kit for us to survive. If you've got your Bible today, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 for just a moment. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. Verse 1 says that Paul was well known to the saints at Corinth. He was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he was pretty well known. He was summoned. He was summoned by God for the rest of his life to be a servant of the Lord. And he had a message to proclaim, and he began to tell them what he thought they ought to do. He mentions the name of Sosthenes, who had been marvelously saved out of persecution and now was helping him carry forth the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in these few words, I find the survival kit for the church. Would you let me share it with you today?
Well, brother.
Listen to what it says. The first thing is this. If we open up the survival kit for our church, we must understand that our church is established by God.
Amen.
If you look at verse 2, here's what it said. Verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. The church is God's church. The church is not my church. The church is not your church. The church is not a group here and a group there. Do you understand that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was established by God Himself?
Amen.
And listen, we're not coming in here to praise one another. No, we're coming in here because this church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we gather in God's church, it is God who ought to receive all the glory and all the praise.
Amen.
It ought to be God who we spend time talking about. It ought to be God who we lift up and praise. It ought to be God that we thank for all blessings come from God.
Amen.
The church is the Lord Jesus Christ today, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the church will be the Lord Jesus Christ tomorrow, and the church will be the Lord Jesus Christ forever.
Amen.
It is His church.
Come on, brother.
Many churches have become nothing more than social centers where folks gather and chat with one another and never talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They become social centers where they gather and they never talk about the sin of the world. They gather and they never talk about the principles of God's Word. Like our president said, he supports same-sex marriages. I'll stand up and tell you that's abomination from God. And God's Word says that we ought to stand up and be counted among His people.
Amen.
It's God's church. He established His church. He laid down His life for His church. And you and I think we've gone through hard times. We haven't gone through anything compared to what Jesus Christ went through. The church is established by God. And since it's God's church, then He is the one who has all the glory coming to Him. God's church.
Hallelujah.
It's very clear. Now let me ask you this, since it's God's church, how do we get a part of God's church? Well, it tells us about the members of the established church. What it said, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. You know how? Those who have realized their need of a Savior. Those who have been blood washed. Those who know what it means to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctified. Set apart. Saved by the wonderful grace of God. I'll tell you how you become a member of God's church. You get down around an old-fashioned altar and you beg God to forgive you of your sins. And you pray a little prayer and invite Jesus to come in your heart. And Jesus washes you with His red flowing blood. And hallelujah, that's how you get a member of God's church. It's not a committee to decide if you can be a member. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a member of God's church right now. I'm not talking about Cedar Grove. I'm talking about God's church. I'm a member of His eternal church. And we'll be now and we'll be forever. Talked about Brother Dean earlier. Brother Dean is celebrating in that church. Part of the church has already been called home. Do you understand? It's not very long, and the trumpet's going to sound. And all we who have been saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us will be raptured away, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will gather around the throne.
Amen.
Oh, it's wonderful to be a member of God's church. Saved, washed in His red flowing blood. And God, it's God's plan that everybody be a saint. That's God's plan, called to be saints. Not that means we're going to live perfect lives. He tells us that because He saved us that we are saved and we ought to be saintly. Why? Because we're walking in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the members of the establishment.
What's the second thing he tells us? He talks about the message of this gospel. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, which are in every place, called upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Look at verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about grace. We're saved by grace. What we ought to have proclaiming from our church is grace, grace, and more grace.
Amen.
Oh, I'll tell you one thing. Listen, and I'll just be bold and honest with you today. We have talked so much about Brother Tim, and we've talked so much about me, and we've talked about everything else. Don't you understand that the message of the church is not about us? The message of the church is about the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. We've got lost somewhere in the shuffle that we're beginning to look at man more than we are the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop back, Cedar Grove, and look. Thank God the cross is empty. Stop, Cedar Grove, and look. Thank God the grave is empty. Stop, Cedar Grove, and glance into heaven and see it on the right hand of the Father is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, who receives the glory? It should be the Lord Jesus Christ. We're wasting our time while our community sits back and watches us. We ought to be proclaiming the grace, goodness, and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The message of the church is not about you and not about me. The message of the church is that there's still a Savior who died that folks may be saved.
Amen.
Oh, me, church. Aren't you glad that the church doesn't belong to us? It's God's church. I'm a member because I've been saved. And the message of the church is thank goodness for grace.
Amen.
We'd all be in hell today if it were not for grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad He gives us saving grace? And He gives us sustaining grace. And He gives us strengthening grace. And He gives us shouting grace. And one of these days, our grace is going to be fulfilled when we stand before our Savior.
Amen, brother.
Grace. We can sit around and talk about one another all that we want to, and we break the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's about Him. His grace. The church is established by God. It didn't belong to you. It didn't belong to me. It belongs to God.
Amen, brother.
Therefore, every decision we make, it's going to be about God. Not a handful making a decision. It's going to be about God. It's all about God. It's all about God. It's established by God. There's a second thing in our survival bag. Listen to this. It is enriched by God. Look at verse 4. Look what he says. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. You know what? The source of that enrichment, it is all God. I thank my God. The grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. What we have today is because of the goodness and the grace of God.
Amen.
The building that we sit in today is because of the goodness and the grace of God. Everything we have, church, everything we have is because of God. It's not because of us. And sometimes we sit around and begin to think it's because of us. No, I'll tell you, it's not because of us. It's all because of Him.
Amen.
The air in this room is a gift from God. The clothes that I have is a gift from God. The food that I eat is a gift from God. Being able to walk and talk is a gift from God. Being able to hear is a gift from God. And we sit in this room today, and most of us in this room is fairly good health, and we're able to be here. Do you know how many countless folks would give anything to be in this room today? And they're not able to be in here. We ought to be so full of praise and glory and positivity and not negative things. Why? For God is still blessing us. The source of our enrichment. How do you keep going? He keeps enriching us. How do I get up in the morning? He gives me what I need. How do I go next Tuesday? He He gives me what I need. Do you understand the goodness and the grace of the Lord just keeps on coming? Matters not who we are and what we've done. It's the source of our worship. How does a cancer patient survive? With the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you go through treatments? Like Miss Linda right here. You go through it knowing of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never leaves us nor forsakes us.
Amen.
He tells us that we can cast our care on Him, for He cares for us. He tells me when I'm tired and weary and worn, I can come to Him and He'll give me rest. You know why? That's all because of His sustaining grace that enriches me. That in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance, and in all knowledge. Look at verse 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, the source of our enrichment, confirmed in us, the substance of our enrichment. It's an understanding of God's Word. There must be a comprehension of God's Word. The teaching and the preaching of His Word is the main thing. We've got to understand what it is that God says. I'm fed from His Word. You're fed from His Word. And all I know, we get it from His Word. We can teach it and preach it, but then songs and testimonies, we get what we need from His Word. We are enriched by God every day. But you know something else? There's one other thing that's found in this bag. City Grove, we are established by God.
Amen.
City Grove, we are enriched by God. City Grove, listen to this. Listen to this. We are enabled by God. God established us and He enriches us, but He enables us to show the devil and the crowd around the devil that greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world.
Amen. Amen.
We can turn our tragedies into triumph. We can turn our heartache into hope. Can you understand how the devil must be mad today if we're still giving God glory in the midst of everything that's been done and said? The church is enabled by God. Very clearly. He's the life of the church. He's the living of the church. If we lose the enablement of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've lost our church.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I can resign as your pastor. Tim can step back. We can leave. But I'll tell you one thing. You can leave us and carry on if you've still got the enablement of the Lord. But if you lose the Lord, you've lost it all.
Amen.
You've lost it all.
Right, brother.
The people of the Corinth church were so puffed up, so prideful. They had been placed in a rough town and been able to survive. Folks had come into that church, and that church was booming and prospering. And God had to remind them that they had got so impressed about themselves that they forgot it wasn't about them to start with. Sometimes we want to pat ourselves on the back when it's not about us to start with. He enables us. He promises us. Verse 7, look at what He's saying. So that ye come behind in no gift. He's going to give us what we need. While doing what? Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to give us what we need to carry on till the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Look at verse 8. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. God is faithful. Don't have to say anything else. God is faithful. Some of you don't believe that. The church will never be insufficient. The church will never come up short. The church will never lack anything if we realize the promise of God.
Amen, brother.
That He's going to enable
us. Amen.
We couldn't be relying on our own strength and not His. If we're relying on our own strength and not God's, we will fall flat on our face. So if we get out the survival kit, we'll understand something. The church is established by God. It's enriched by God. And it's enabled by God. Verse 9 says several things. Here's what he said. God is faithful.
Amen.
By whom you were called into the fellowship of what? His Son. His Son. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Everything in one verse. His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Now, who's the Lord of our church? It's not me. It's not Tim. It's not you. The Lord of this church is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Lord.
And if we try to put anybody else on that throne, we have messed up.
Amen.
I don't want to be on the throne. I want God on the throne.
Amen, brother.
I don't. Take my name off the sign out front if you want. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. My name don't even have to be on the sign. For it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
So, if you think the church belongs to you, you're wrong, according to Scripture. If you think that you're God's gift to the church, you're wrong, according to Scripture. If you think you can do it all without Him, you're wrong, according to Scripture. And if you get upset over me, at me over that, I can prove it to you according to Scripture. And so if I can prove it to you according to Scripture, then it's not me you ought to get mad at. You ought to get mad at the author of the book.
Come on, brother.
Don't you know God's heart is ripped out when we do foolish things, when the church is not ours to serve?
Amen. Amen, brother.
It's God's. It's God's. It is God's. If everybody agree with that, then you say
amen.
Amen.
Stand here with us. Bow your heads with me this morning. As we pray, and as if you have an opportunity to come, would you today don't you want God to be glorified in His church? Not because you're here, but because He is here. So I come in, would you come? First to say, I don't need any glory. I want to go to God. Some are coming, would you come? Maybe God's leading you to make a decision. Maybe He told you that you need to become a part of the church. The devil says, oh no, you don't. God says, yes, you do. Would you come right now? Let's come again on our knees before God. People are still coming from back to you. We've got to find God. He's still there.